Speak to us through your word today and change our minds, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this is the first slide. You see number one up there? Try to find something on that slide that corresponds to your paper. Put a number one beside that, and you'll be on your way. Solomon was the guy with all the toys. He had the finest horses, the fastest chariots, more money than he could spend in a lifetime, an army at his command. He had guys that were standing at the ready to build whatever he would dream up. He had the life. The finest cooks the world could produce. Servants attended his every desire. His harem was filled with 1,000 beautiful women. Only the best wine ever made it to his table. If ever there was a fella who had the wherewithal to have a good time, it was Solomon. So he decided to test this theory that pleasure is the reason we live. If I could enjoy myself all the time, wouldn't that be great? If life was like a giant Chuck E. Cheese and there were just delights and entertainments, then maybe that would make life, I don't know, livable. To enjoy oneself, maybe that's the reason for it all. And his journey took two different routes at the same time. The first branch of that, he decided he would go out and find what people enjoy doing or what they say is really fun. Get drunk as a skunk. Party yourself silly. Run around like fools do. Everybody says that's where it's at. So he tried doing that. The other route he took was to build magnificent buildings. He planted parks and gardens, built great palaces. Because there are a lot of people, they take pride in what they accomplish. Look at that, I built that. See that over there? That wasn't there until I came along. Because some people enjoy working. Okay, I'll try that too. I'll party with the partiers, I'll work with the best of them, and see if somewhere in all this I can't figure out what is the best way to live? What is the best way for a man to live? I don't know if you've ever known anyone who is both a workaholic and an alcoholic. All week long, they ply their trade like nobody's business. All weekend long, they're just kind of wasted. And then they get back to it again on Monday morning and give it all they've got. Workaholic and an alcoholic. And Solomon thought, well, maybe that's the way to live. And all of this was an experiment. You'll notice the text that we have. He said in verse 3, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. Can you imagine a guy trying to get drunk and take notes? Yeah, this is what it's like. Verse 9, he says, in all this my wisdom stayed with me. He thought so. And then in verse 10, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. So you see, this is a scientific experiment that he's having. He was the most intelligent guy on the planet at the time. People came to him with hard questions all of the time, and I'm sure the one question he got over and over and over again, what is the meaning of life? What is the meaning of life? What is the meaning of life? As he looked around at all the people, he thought, let's find out. And so, mind fully intact, he saw how much alcohol he could drink. Mind fully intact, he went to the drawing board to see what new thing he could create for his kingdom. All of it, an experiment. He wanted to come back to everybody and say, I've tested it all, and now here's what it's all about. He was testing to see that if living the life that everybody said it was fun would give him the essence of what he was searching for. The pursuit of pleasure has become the American dream. And he was wondering if it wouldn't be the Israeli dream as well. What is it all about? And it makes sense, doesn't it? Do whatever you think you'll enjoy, and you'll enjoy whatever you're doing. So let's work at that. What do you most enjoy? I'll take a little test this morning. Tomorrow is Monday. The first part of it is called the morning. Would you rather sleep in or go to work? Sleep in, go to work. We have our kids in with us today. Would you rather stay home and play video games or go to school and do algebra? For lunch, would you rather have pizza or broccoli? See where all this goes? It's a bunch of questions for it. And one of the sad truths is, if you ever find a person who only does what they want to all the time, you'll find some of the most miserable people on the planet. They don't go to work, they just sleep in all the time. They don't eat what's good for them, they just ruin their health with whatever they're consuming. They don't go to school, they play hooky and they skip out here and there. And they get a job like that first lady we had with the big garbage can and trying to collect the elephant poop. Oh, if we just do what we want all the time, we end up not doing anything we want. Isn't that strange? And Solomon has taken notes as he goes through all of this. As I said in the introduction, pleasure, leisure, the pursuit of happiness has become the American dream. If we're not happy, something's got to be wrong. Somebody better do something about that, because after all, it's all about happiness. A sad, difficult, painful, miserable life, well, that's not worth living. I'd rather be dead. Have you ever thought that? You ever said that? Well, if this is the way it's going to be, I'd just rather not even be alive. Because, you see, we've been taught. We've learned. We've come to these conclusions, or others have, and they've brought them to us, that life is about being happy. You want to enjoy what you're doing. And if you're not enjoying it all, you need to change something. Don't endure anything. Don't put up with anything. Just find out what would make you happy and go after that. We go to work to afford things that will support our happiness. The purpose of free time is so that we can maintain an acceptable level of satisfaction. Don't talk to me now. I'm vegging. This is my time. Don't intrude on it. If we can take pleasure in the things we own, fill our heads with pleasant memories from all the cool stuff we did all week, well then, doesn't it follow that at the end of the week we could lay our head on the pillow and be so satisfied with the way our life is going? Because we're in control. We're doing stuff we want to do. We're doing everything that we like, and so isn't life grand? See, right and wrong then become subservient to the things that bring enjoyment. If it feels good, it's right. If it hurts, well, that's got to be wrong. And that becomes the moral basis of our society. Do you think we're there? If it feels good, do it. If it hurts, you're not scripted in that. Well, let me show you how it works. Truth becomes subjective because of how things make me feel. If it makes me feel good, it's true. It's true for me. If it makes me feel bad, well, then that's not true for me. And we do this with one another. And if what makes you feel good makes me feel bad, well, then it's truth for you, but it's not truth for me. And if my saying that what makes you feel good is bad, if that makes you feel bad, then my saying that is bad. Did you follow that? Unless when I said it, it made me feel good. So how do you mesh all that together? If some people are doing stuff that make them feel good, but what feel, that makes the others feel bad, and what is, I don't think pleasure or happiness can be the foundation for life. But when it is, immorality is no longer immoral as long as it's making somebody feel good. Gambling isn't wrong as long as somebody's enjoying it, and we helped an old lady get a bus ticket. That justifies it. See? If marijuana causes someone pleasure, legalize it. Because there's no higher purpose in life than to be high. Rocky Mountain High, Colorado. And it shouldn't be illegal for illegal aliens to live in our country as long as they're enjoying themselves. And if it means they've escaped a place where they didn't enjoy themselves, well, that's all the more purpose that they need to be here. Give them a driver's license, an education, free health care, because who could enjoy life without all that stuff? It's immoral to deport them because nobody ever enjoyed being deported. If you want to work, we'll guarantee you a living wage regardless of what your job is. And if you decide not to work at all, that's okay too. We just want you to be happy. And we'll give you all the bells and whistles because happy is the purpose of life. I can see some of you taking notes and saying, boy, this is a good sermon. Happy is the preacher said so. I heard him. He read out of the Bible and everything. And it's, wow. Ecclesiastes 2, 10 and 11. Now, there's no corresponding slide on your paper for the wordy ones. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward for all my toil. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. So look in verse 10 there. It says that Solomon did have a good time while he was having a good time. My heart took delight in my labor, and this was the reward for my toil. When they finished the building, he said, man, that's really nice. I love the smell of new construction, and that's cool. While he was doing stuff, it seemed to have some momentary pleasure. But look in verse 11. He said, when I stepped back and I looked at it all, I was so disappointed. It was okay while it was happening, but now I look at it and I think, so what? There were buildings before I was born, and there'll be buildings later. Somebody will plant a nicer garden someday, and it's all just kind of meaningless. Your life ever been like that? While you're doing something, it's okay, it's good, it's kind of, but boy, as soon as the event's over, it's like such a drop-off, and it seems so empty. If we were to bring a family in from a third world country, and we were to give them a 50-year-old mobile home to live in, they'd think they died and went to heaven. Separate living quarters, running water, electricity, woohoo! Let that same family live in that mobile home for 20 years or so. Their kids going to school with other kids and them touring neighborhoods that were close by. Chances are they're not going to be as excited about their mobile home as they were that first year or so. Why is that? Well, it's because stuff has a very short shelf life. The pleasure that comes with stuff has a very short shelf life. The joy only lasts for a moment. Sometimes it doesn't even last as long as the moment itself. I hope everybody got a vacation this year. Did your vacation live up to the hype you gave it? Sometimes I think the best part of vacation is looking forward to it. Because when it finally gets here, you find out you still didn't get enough sleep. The kids were extra cranky. You're thinking about getting one of those Brinks trucks and locking the kids in the back just so that you and the wife can have a little peace and quiet. And as you go down the road after you've been with the wife a half hour, you're thinking about building a petition between the two of you. Because there's a few too many suggestions about the way you're driving as you're on your way to vacation. And somewhere in vacation, you say to yourself, I can't wait to get back to work. And you go, what did I just say? Life rarely lives up to the hype of it all. Things tend to lose their charm very quickly. Accomplishments, they lose their luster by the time you can clip them out of the newspaper. A moment of hedonistic pleasure passes so quickly, the participant often doesn't even remember it, especially when it comes to the hangover the next morning. After careful study of the subject and much research, Solomon draws this conclusion. Pleasure is meaningless. Meaningless. Now, why is that so profound to state? Because are you going to go after pleasure again this week? You went after it last week. How'd that work out for you? Oh, no, but this is you. They asked Nelson Rockefeller one day, how much money does it take for a man to be happy? You remember what his response was? One of the richest men in the world? Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Yeah, that last party, it really was a bummer, and now I need a new car. But the next one, that's really going to be a good time. It's going to be a wonderful time. You'll spend your health, your wealth, and your sanity pursuing pleasure. And she will not give you a return on your investment like you are thinking. You will never find pleasure pursuing pleasure. You'll never have a good time planning on having a good time. If you're the person that has to plan it, especially, and pay for it and get everything ready and so on and so forth, but you will never find pleasure pursuing pleasure, at least not any satisfaction that will have any meaning for very long. You might get a few chuckles, but they will die quickly. That's why thrill seekers always need a bigger thrill. They got this bucket list, and if they could do this, this, and this, well then, ha-ha, they will have accomplished something. I jumped off a cliff. Okay. I got to find a bigger cliff. Maybe if I do this or that. Gamers have to get to the next level. There's always another level. Drinkers need to stay drunk. Partiers need another party and then an after party. And here's the problem with earthly accomplishments. They are always temporary. They're just here for a little while. So, how is it that we're so gullible? How is it that we go back for more? You would think that after a person had his first slug of whiskey, they wouldn't ever do that to themselves again. Why are we so gullible after the first disaster of a party that we're going to go back and try that again after having tried to find a date in a bar that you would ever go back to another one of those? It's just temporary. You can't spend your life running after temporary jollies. Stacy Errico sang a song not too long ago that basically gave us that information. It's got to be more to life than chasing down every temporary high to satisfy me. And here's one of the verses. I've got it all, but I feel so deprived. I go up, I come down, and I'm emptier inside. Tell me, what is this thing that I feel like I'm missing, and why can't I let it go? There's got to be more to life than chasing down every temporary high to satisfy me. Because the more that I'm tripping out thinking there must be more to life, well, it's life, but I'm sure there's got to be more than wanting more. Isn't that profound? I mean, that echoes Scripture so well. There's got to be more than just wanting more. Than that little zing, that little high over having done this, gone there, done that, bought this, bought that. There's got to be more to life. Or you could go a different direction entirely. Remember what one of our little fellows said up here this morning when I said, why do you want to get a good job? To get more money. They've learned well. They've learned what we've taught them. They've learned what we've modeled in front of them. If we could get a little more money, we could get a little more stuff. If we could get just a little bit more stuff, wow, we could have enough stuff that we have to rent a building to keep it in. Woo-hoo! Then we will have attained. Huh. So that's the direction that the world is out there. You could go a completely different way. You could go after meaning, eternal life, stuff that matters, that after you're dead and gone, rather than the kids fighting over the silverware or the, what else do we collect? The gun collection, the coin collection. They would be quality people who love one another and live for eternal stuff too. How disappointed would you be if your son or daughter came home someday and said, Mom, Dad, I want to be a missionary. I don't want to be an engineer and make six figures. I want to give my life for Jesus Christ on a foreign field. What would your response to that be? Now, I think the best of us would take a hit from that. But after the initial sting of saying, my kid's somewhere around the world, would we be able to open our hands and say, God, it worked. I dedicated them to you as a baby, and apparently I meant it. And I just want you to have your way in their life. That is eternal purpose. Not just the grind from 9 to 5 for a little while, but there's eternity in that. Being happy is wonderful. But it's not the point of living. The reason for living is to know, love, and serve the Lord. Now, we can say that academically this morning. We can agree on that, that that's a good thing. Why don't we put that on the wall? But if it's on the wall and it's not in our heart, it means nothing. Probably the reason you're here this morning is you've discovered this truth at some point in your life. You were out there like a Solomon. You followed the crowd a while. You tried what the world said was really great. And in the aftermath, you shrugged your shoulders and you wondered why. And then you found meaning and purpose in Jesus Christ. But there is this strange thing that happens to believers. We get to this place where we rethink it for some reason. And it, although we tried all that stuff and found out there was nothing there, maybe we need some of it anyway. There was a gentleman a long time ago, his name's Augustine. He was like Solomon. He went into hedonistic pleasures. He studied, he built, he tried false religions. And then there was a day somebody introduced him to Jesus Christ. He gave his heart to the Lord, and sometime later he wrote, "You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until we find our rest in you." So this has such a great dual application. If you don't know the Lord, if you've been out in the world, if you've been chasing the wrong things, there's rest in Christ. But also there's a message here for those who have come to Christ and have lost their way. They enjoy drinking at the well of salvation. They found life in God. But somewhere they started drinking the world's Kool-Aid again. And they've little by little been pulling their soul back from God and investing it back in the world and their hopes and their dreams and what they're modeling in front of their kids and their grandkids. Is all that church stuff is good. Make a place for it in your life. But what you really need to do is this. See, we need to repent of that spirit. We need to come home and say, "Jesus, you are all the life there is, period. I give you my all, my all." You will never find pleasure by pursuing pleasure. Pleasure will find you as you pursue the Lord. Amen? Amen? Amen. Pleasure will find you. You try to sacrifice to God. You try to give Him it all. And He just keeps pouring it back and pouring it back and pouring it back. So my question for all of us this morning is, who's your God? Who's your daddy? Who's your God? Are you just going after more pleasure? Or have you bowed your knee? Have you given your heart and your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, "Here I am. I am yours. I am yours." Would you stand with me this morning?